Welcome into episode 126 of the Courtside Crossover with Chris Partee. As always, we're brought to you by FullPressCoverage.com. Check us out on the Full Press Coverage app, as well as Megaphone FM, Spotify, and anywhere else you find podcasts. You can find me, Twitter, Instagram, and Blue Sky at Chris Partee. All right, this week, there's been a lot going on in NBA. We're back now from the All-Star break, and it's been talked about a lot all season. Really, every season it gets worse, it seems like. But we're going to talk about some officiating and an egregious play that happened between the Knicks and Pistons recently. And then also I want to talk about the global takeover that the world has embarked on within the NBA and players from outside that are, I guess, weren't born and primarily raised in the United States of America really taking over the game. I just want to get into that just a little bit as that becomes more prevalent by the day, really. Definitely by the season. All right, but first up, Pistons. Pistons lost on, I guess that was Monday night, 113-111 to the Knicks. And there was a sequence in this game towards the end. I mean, we're talking about 14 seconds left, and the Knicks are trying to get up a shot. They're down one, trying to take the lead. They can't do it. Ball gets loose a couple times. They get it back. Then finally, Ausar Thompson of the Pistons, rookie, shout out Oakland, California, Bay Area. Him and his brother grew up in Oakland. They're from the Bay Area, my neck of the woods. But Ausar Thompson gets the steal, or at least he knocks the ball loose after Dante DiVincenzo tries to make a pass on the wing, from the top of the key to the wing. And Thompson's going after the loose ball now. DiVincenzo's going after the loose ball for the Knicks. And as he gets there, DiVincenzo hurls his body in front of Thompson to jump on the ball, but at the same time, he takes him out at his knees. Now, mind you, this is right on the sideline, and the referee is 2 feet away, and he's watching. He's right there to make the call. Now, I know he's paying attention to the ball, and, you know, the argument was made that maybe Thompson, because the camera angle was such in real time that you couldn't really see. It's at that, they're on the near sideline. So it's at that angle to where you can't really see the players clearly enough to see who might be out of bounds or who might have the ball. Then the referee is there, but the referee is at an at a vantage point to where he can see DiVincenzo's body going into Thompson's knees. No foul call. Now, subsequently, the play goes on. Knicks get the ball back. They score. They get fouled, score. They go up by two eventually, win the game, 113-111. After the game, Monty Williams went off and basically just said, you know, we just want a fair shot. He said, we've done everything. We've wrote the letters, talked to the, you know, to the league afterward after games about officiating, done it the right way. We just want a fair shot. Now, I'm not going to get into all that about a fair shot. I mean, I understand that, but my thing is the referees. The referees, I mean, this card, you've got to go check this out. It just happened, you know, recently, within the last night or two. You've got to go watch this play because it's a blatant foul. It's a loose ball foul at the least. Even if Thompson didn't have control, possession of the ball, it's a loose ball foul at the least. You've got to call this. This young man almost had his knee. Well, he did have his knees taken out. This could have been a serious injury. No, DiVincenzo could have hurt himself diving for the ball like that and running into the lower body of Thompson up against the sideline, you know, against the right along the sideline there. This was an egregious play. I'm not saying DiVincenzo was trying to hurt him, but intent shouldn't matter with a foul. I mean, nobody, well, yes, there are intentional fouls, but most times guys aren't intending to foul a lot of times. They're going after the ball, just trying to defend, and fouls happen. This was clear. It was blatant. This was a foul. The referee is standing right there, about 2 feet away, literally about 2 feet away. No call. Play continues. At the time this happened, there was about 8.6 seconds on the clock for the Knicks. They got the ball back. They score. They go and win. For a team like the Pistons, who they don't have 10 wins yet on the season. Wins have been hard to come by for the Pistons this year. So for the referees to really cost them, now they're 9-49. They have the same record as the Wizards. They're both, neither one has double-digit wins yet. The last two teams in the league without double-digit wins. Over in the West, the Spurs have 11, worst in the West, 11 wins, Blazers 15, then the Grizzlies 20. Over in the East, Pistons and Wizards, both 9-49. Either one of these teams could end up having the worst record in the league. But for the Pistons, I don't blame Monty Williams. I'd be upset too. You're having a horrible season. You've got a chance to win this game. It's right there. I'm not going to say they had it in the bag because we know bad teams will lose leads. It happens. We know this. We've seen this a number of times. But for them to be that close to getting that 10th win of the season and to just have it snatched away because a referee wouldn't blow the whistle. He swallowed his whistle. The ref is standing right there. Yes, you've got multiple refs on the court. But and even though the referee was kind of at the angle where they were behind Thompson, you can still see from the other side of Thompson that DiVincenzo's diving and he basically takes him out of his knees. Again, not saying that he did it on purpose to take him out of his knees. At least he's diving for the ball, for the loose ball. The Knicks are trying to win too. I get it. But you got to call that foul. You cannot let that go down like that to where you don't make a call there. So Monty Williams goes off. I don't blame him after the game. You know, some people might say, oh, well, it's just the Pistons. They're going to lose. They're probably going to lose 65 games this year. They just might. They've got 49 losses already. They've got 40. Let's just say they'll have 50 losses before the end of this week. Let's just keep it real. They'll have 50 losses very soon. They'll probably lose another 15. But to be robbed of a game in that manner, I don't, it's not even heartbreaking. It's devastating. Because you got a very young team who's trying, they're growing and trying to learn, developing. Nothing's going right. Just when you think you might have your 10th victory of the year, and they're 3-7 in their last 10, going back to before the All-Star break. But just when, you know, not to say that they, you know, are getting things turned around, but just when it's just good to get a win, man, when you're this bad. Anybody that's played any kind of sports growing up, and I've been on losing teams, maybe not this bad, like historically bad, but I've been on losing teams where it's just like, it seems like nothing goes right. To finally get a few wins, especially in a long season like the NBA's, it does something for a young team. To pull out a close win like that, because young, bad teams like this, they don't usually win these types of games where they're close and they're down to the wire. Now, obviously, the Pistons lost, but and it's never just one play that loses a game for you, but this one play, this one no call by this ref may have lost them this game. That's serious right there. That's for real. There needs to be more accountability, I should say, for referees when they miss blatant calls. Yeah, the NBA came out after the game almost immediately and admitted that the referee got it wrong and they made a mistake. But wow, thanks. Okay. Like Monty Williams said, you know, we're tired of hearing it. We're tired of hearing these little apologies and these excuses. Now, he'll probably end up getting fined because whenever you come out against referees, they're holier than thou. You can't badmouth officials. Players, coaches get fined all the time. All the time. I think Mike Brown for the Kings head coach got fined last month, whatever it was, talking about referees. So I fully expect, I hope he doesn't, but It'd just be naive to not expect that that Monty Williams won't be fine something, which is really a shame. I get the referees need to be respected and held at a certain level, but at the same time, when are we going to hold them accountable, like really accountable? Okay, yeah, the league apologized. So what? They're going to come out and make more bad calls because they've been doing it all year. They've been doing it for years. It seems like it gets worse every year. Every year, it feels like it gets that much worse when it comes to referees and their calls. Whether it's the discrepancy in foul calls for one team to another in the postseason or something like that, we've seen that plenty of times, or just missing calls like this, where it's clearly a foul. Now, this wasn't something that happened at the rim and, you know, maybe you missed the guy hitting the other guy's hand going up for a shot, a layup, a run, or whatever it is. No. This was pretty much at midcourt on the sideline, and the referee is right there. And just go watch this play. Go watch this play. The referee is right there. It's unexplainable. How do you miss this call? That's really what I want to know. You are right there in the thick of it, and you missed this call. I just don't understand it. I don't get it. I really don't. I don't get it. I wrote an article about this, and I said, you know, maybe the NBA starts sitting these guys down for a game. I know sometimes I know they do something like keep tally of the referees and, you know, the calls they're making and their progress and all, you know, and how they do throughout the year and things. And that's how the league determines who does what playoff games and how many and the finals and all these other things, the conference finals and who gets to these opportunities to do these playoff series. But maybe you miss a call this blatant. Drug test them. I don't know. I mean, you got to do something. Sit them down for a game. Like, all right, your next game, you're going to sit down because that call is right in front of you. There just seems to be a lack of accountability with referees when it comes to this. Because the NBA makes the apology for the ref, and then what? Nothing. They don't reverse decisions after games. There's none of that. They're not going to reverse and say, okay, no, we're going to give this win, or we're just going to give this win to the Pistons, or, you know, we'll just call it a tie since that probably cost, or that, you know, damn near cost them the game, or probably did cost them the game. Now, there were other things the Pistons probably could have done better. It's the Pistons. There were things they could have done better in that game, obviously. But that play happening when it happened, you get that foul and you get the ball back. Who knows? Pistons might go on to win that game. I get it. It's a regular season game in late February. Doesn't sound like a big deal. When you're basically in March and you only got 9 wins, every victory is a big deal. Trust me. All right. Every game, every win that the Pistons can eke out at this point is a big deal. If they can get it, it's all a big deal now. So, yeah, I'm not a Pistons fan, obviously, but that really pissed me off because the referee, you're watching. Now, I went back and watched this play about 7 or 8 times. Okay. Rewound it, watched it back 7 or 8 times in a row. And I'm watching, I'm looking, I'm like, the referee's right. He's standing literally right there about 2 feet away. Obviously, not everyone is going to see this the same way. But the NBA's had a problem, and I'm not accusing anyone of anything, but the NBA has had a problem, or they had a problem in the past. Tim Donaghy got caught betting on games, changing that, you know, helping to change the outcome of games for betting purposes. Not saying that's what happened here, but you want people to believe that you are a legit league, which we do. But if that happened once, it could happen again. I'm not saying this is where, but something like this would happen in regular season games that seemingly don't really mean much. Again, I'm not accusing that referee of this. All I'm saying is, if you don't want people speculating about things like this, because that would be a big allegation. If you don't want people speculating about things like this, that your referees might be involved, because we've seen it already, then you got to crack down on this. It's got to be more on the line for referees, just like there are players and coaches. Like I said, Monty Williams came out and voiced his opinion on this. He was frustrated. He was upset. I get it. Right after the game, they stick a camera in your face. Of course, your emotions are going to come out. I don't blame him. I'd be upset too. Not just losing the game, but one of your players could have been hurt and there wasn't even a foul call. And this is not an indictment on Dante DiVincenzo. Not saying, I don't think he did it on purpose. It was a hard play. It was a legit hard play. But he just happened to take Thompson out at the knees. For me, it's all about the referee, man. Make the call. What are you waiting for? Why would you sit? I get it. Sometimes you want referees to swallow their whistle, to swallow the whistle, but you got to call this foul. You got to call this foul. Maybe it's a little different in a playoff game, late in the playoff game. Even then, you take a guy out at his knees. It's one of the worst things you can do in basketball. And then to not have a foul called on top of it, that's just ridiculous, man. It's just ridiculous. I really hope the NBA can get things together and do something about the officiating, because it's just bad sometimes. And I know these guys are big, they're strong, they're moving really, really fast. They're more athletic than they've ever been as far as the whole, just across the league. But you can't miss that call, because it's right in front of you. It's not like it's in the lane at the rim with, you know, maybe three, four guys around. No. This is on the sideline, away from the basket. Middle of the court, closer to the sideline, obviously. Away from the basket, though. It was just those two guys. Not like there was a big scrum with five players there. Two guys. One guy took the other guy out of his knees. You have to call that. If you can't see that and call that a foul, then you need to be replaced and someone else needs to be out there. Sorry. They just do. I'm not someone that wants to rail on the refs all the time, but come on, man. Everyone else is held accountable. Why shouldn't they be? That's my question. Why should referees not be held accountable when they make I'm not saying all the time, but egregious calls like this that should be called a foul. How is it possible to miss that? Adam Silver, man, you got to get that fixed and fast. Do something about these referees. All right. So we go from referees to the world takeover of the NBA. That's what I'm calling it, a world takeover. I was taking a look at the MVP race and been like this for some time now. I mean, just think about it. The last five MVP winners, none of them were born and primarily raised in the United States of America. Joel Embiid last year, Nikola Jokic the 2 years prior, and the 2 years prior to Nikola Jokic, it was Giannis Antetokounmpo. 5 years in a row. Okay, this is not just a couple years here. 5 years in a row now. Now, it's just three players, but 5 years in a row. The best player in the NBA as voted on has been someone who was not born in the United States. And it just made me think, I'm old enough to remember being a kid watching the Dream Team and that global expansion in the early 90s of the NBA, where they wanted to globalize the game. And well, we got that. And it worked a little too well, because I'm looking at the top contenders now, the rankings for MVP this year, and looking at the top five recently, The top five. Only one is an American-born player. That's Jason Tatum. You got Luka Doncic, who's killing it, always kills it, averaging 34 a game for the Mavs. Then Giannis, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who people forget, and I forget sometimes, he's from Toronto, Canada. So he's North America. He's, you know, born in North America, but he's not from the United States originally. And then Nikola Jokic. And Joel Embiid would still be up there if not for that injury. He's, even if he comes back this year, he's not going to be able to play enough games to qualify for MVP, for the MVP award. So he's out, but he'd be up there too. And then even if you go further down the list, you got Domantas Sabonis in it for the Kings. And then the others behind him are guys that are from the United States. You know, you got Donovan Mitchell, Tyrese Halliburton, Anthony Davis. Not sure why. I don't know about Anthony Davis being in there. I mean, he's having a good year. I guess maybe top 10 for MVP, but that's, yeah. And then, you know, Jalen Brunson's also in there. But in the top five, four of the five are players that were not born in the United States of America. Which, if you go back, you would ask me, even in the early 2000s, I probably would have said, no, I don't know if we'll ever see a time when pretty much, you know, the top five will be non-American born players like vying for MVP. And I probably definitely wouldn't have thought that 5 years straight, we would have had a player not born in the U.S. to win the MVP. I think it just shows how much the game has grown. And to me, it's a good thing. U.S. players, y'all got to step it up. Hey, don't blame them. You got to step it up, man. That's what that kills me. Got to step it up. Not that we don't still, you know, have some of the best players in the world here. As a majority, yes. But because we got all these other players from, it's not like they're all coming from like one country or two countries. They're coming from different places around, you know, around the globe. And it's just crazy to see this. This year, probably going to have another player. It'd probably be 6 years straight, 6 years running that a non-American player, non-American born player wins the MVP award. I mean, because when you go back to the 90s, 80s, 90s, we had, especially, you know, there were African players like Hakeem Olajuwon. He's from Africa. He's African. But he did go to college in the United. He went to University of Houston, so he did go to college here. I mean, so did Joel Embiid. He went to Kentucky. Not Kentucky, but Kansas. So, you know, but still was not, you know, not American born, though. But when you look at specifically the players of European descent, and I mean born in somewhere in Europe and then coming over here to play, you had those players. I remember a guy, Šarūnas Marcilionis, played for the Warriors back in the day. And he was a good player, not a star, but a good player. And that's mostly what it was back in the day. Some of these guys were solid players. Tony Kukoc, solid player. Not a superstar, not really a upper tier star, but he was a good player though. Arvydas Sabonis, who had he come over earlier would have been a lot more, I guess, heralded in the NBA, but he got to the NBA, I think he was 31 already, had some injuries, was a little bigger than he once was. And now his son is one of the top players in the league. Domantas Sabonis. Blanking on his name right there. But most of those players were role players back in the day. Now a lot of these, I mean, look at Jokic and look at Luka. And hell, even Giannis to an extent, the Greek freak. These guys are they're the guy on their teams. They're the best player on their teams. And three of the top five players in the league right now. They got to be. Three of the top five players in the NBA. So in the world, three of the top five players in the world right now. it's crazy. I can't say I ever thought we'd see it get to this point. And the way the game has opened up so much and become less physical, it's only going to continue like this. When the NBA went away from, I'll use the Pistons and Spurs of the mid-2000s as an example. When the NBA went away from that type of basketball where you could play all-out defense and just grind opponents into the ground, once the NBA went away from that, it was over. It was over. Those type of teams, they'll never win. They probably won't ever win again, at least not for a long time. Teams that are primarily built on defense and just stopping you, but really struggle to score points. Because now you got to score, you got to be scoring like 115, 120 a night to even have a chance at winning. Let's just be honest. You may also give up 115, 120, but if you score 124, then whatever, it doesn't matter. Now you have to be able to play defense and get stops when you need them. You don't need to be able to play defense the entire game. It helps. Definitely helps, and it looks good that you have a high efficiency rating defensively, or high defensive rating, and then a high rating offensively. But what really matters in the postseason is, can you get stops when you really have to get stops? Late in games, when the other team has a player or two, or hell, sometimes three, that can just take a game over and get any shot they want. Can you stop those guys then? That's what this league is about now. And I was just looking at that and I was like, damn, the NBA, 30 years later, the expansion that they wanted, they got it. But it's kind of been to the detriment of American players. Because all these European players, they start playing pro basketball like 15, 16 years old. While our guys are playing AAU ball, not working on skill sets, just going pretty much, you know, purely off athleticism and, you know, traveling teams and all these things, which is fine. But we see where we even see it now in, you know, the national team and then in the Olympics, how much more of a struggle it is usually now. You go back to the Dream Team, they were just blowing teams out. It wasn't even close. It's been close for a couple decades now. It's gotten closer. Now it's as close as it's ever been. Five straight years, a non-American born player has won MVP. I mean, at the beginning of this season, I picked Jason Tatum to win the MVP award. And I mean, he's, you know, he may finish top five, but he's not going to win it. As good as the Celtics are going to end the season, he's not going to win it. He's just not. He's not going to win it. Because two of the guys ahead of him, hell, three of the guys ahead of him are averaging over 30 points a game. And one of them is just all world in Nikola Jokic and does everything for his team. You just can't. If he's not scoring, he's passing and rebounding. You can't stop him. It's ridiculous. So it's going to be year six of a non-American player winning MVP. It's going to happen. Just keep watching. You can count on that. All right, that's going to do it this week for episode 126 of the Courtside Crossover. Again, check us out on fullpresscoverage.com. Download the Full Press Coverage app. Catch us on Megaphone FM, Spotify, and anywhere else you find podcasts. Catch your boy on Instagram, Twitter, and Blue Sky at Chris Partee. C-R-I-S-S-P-A-R-T-E-E. I'll check you next week. Peace.